They stopped just outside the radiance of the hotel's entrance. A doorman in a green swallowtail coat blew an ear-splitting blast on his little silver whistle, hailing down a yellow cab. "Is it gone, do you think? Is the black man in the jail cell gone?" "I don't know," Jake shook his head with frustration. "There's something about the Dogon, too, all mixed in."
"And this comes from the touch?"
"Yes, but it's not from Mia or Susanna or you or me. I think," Jake's voice lowered, "I think I better figure out who that black man is and what he means to us, because I think that what I'm seeing comes from the Dark Tower itself." He looked at Callahan solemnly. "In some ways, we're getting very close to it, and that's why it's so dangerous for the Quartet to be broken like it is. In some ways, we're almost there."
6. Jake took charge smoothly and completely from the moment he stepped out of the revolving doors with Oi in his arms and then put the Billy Bumbler down on the lobby's tile floor. Callahan didn't think the kid was even aware of it, and probably that was all to the good. If he got self-conscious, his confidence might crumble. Oi sniffed delicately at his own reflection in one of the lobby's green glass walls, then followed Jake to the desk, his claws clicking faintly on the black and white marble squares. Callahan walked beside him, aware that he was looking at the future and trying not to goggle at it too obviously.
"She was here," Jake said. "Pear, I can almost see her. Both of them, her and Mia."
Before Callahan could reply, Jake was at the desk.
"Cry pardon, ma'am," he said. "My name is Jake Chambers. Do you have a message for me or a package or something? It'd be either from Susanna Dean or maybe from a Miss Mia."
The woman peered down doubtfully at Oi for a moment. Oi looked up at her with a cheery grin that revealed a great many teeth. Perhaps these disturbed the clerk because she turned away from him with a frown and examined the screen of her computer.
"Chambers?" she asked.
"Yes, ma'am," spoken in his best getting along with grown-up's voice. It had been a while since he'd needed to use that one, but it was still there, Jake found, and within easy reach.
"I have something for you, but it's not from a woman. It's from someone named Stephen King."
She smiled.
"I don't suppose it's the famous writer. Do you know him?"
"No, ma'am," Jake said, and snuck a sidewards glance at Callahan. Neither of them had heard of Stephen King until recently. But Jake understood why the name might give his current traveling companion the chills. Callahan didn't look particularly chilly at the moment, but his mouth had thinned to a single line.
"Well," she said, "I suppose it's a common enough name, isn't it? Probably there are normal Stephen Kings all over the United States who wish he'd just, I don't know, give it a rest."
She voiced a nervous little laugh, and Callahan wondered what had set her on edge. Oi, who got less doggy the longer you looked at him? Maybe, but Callahan thought it was more likely something in Jake, something that whispered danger. Perhaps even gunslinger. Certainly there was something in him that set him apart from other boys. Far. Callahan thought of him pulling the Ruger from the Docker's clutch and sticking it under the unfortunate taxi driver's nose. "Tell me that you were driving too fast and almost ran down my friend," he'd screamed, his finger already white on the trigger. "Tell me that you don't want to die here in the street with a hole in your head." Was that the way an ordinary 12-year-old reacted to a near-miss accident? Callahan thought not. He thought the desk clerk was right to be nervous. As for himself, Callahan realized he felt a little better about their chances at the Dixie Pig. Not a lot, but a little. 7. Jake, perhaps sensing something a little off-kilter, flashed the clerk his best getting along with grown-up smile, but to Callahan it looked like Oi's. Too many teeth.
"Just a moment," she said, turning away from him.
Jake gave Callahan a puzzled what's-up-with-her look. Callahan shrugged and spread his hands. The clerk went to a cabinet behind her, opened it, looked through the contents of a box stored inside, and returned to the desk with an envelope bearing the Plaza Park's logo. Jake's name and something else had been written on the front in what looked like half-script and half-printing.